This Sunday is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Magruder will be reading two of the scripture readings to you for today, starting with the epistle, which is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. He will continue with the gospel, which he's basing his sermon on, coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and continuing on 18 through 23. Additional scripture readings for this Sunday include Psalm 65, verses 1 through 8, and the Old Testament reading coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. Now here is the pastor, David Magruder, the pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, with a sermon for this Sunday entitled, A Different Mind.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you've noticed, we're still on our summer run through St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome. It's chapter 8 this morning. The chapter begins with a great summary statement of what it means to be a baptized believer in Christ. It says, Therefore, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. An umbrella of grace and forgiveness covers you. You are clothed with Christ, shielded from the condemnation of God's law. And not only is there no condemnation, but there's also freedom in this life. And that is what is brought to us this morning. It's a real-life application of God's good news for us. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Though you're still a sinner, you're no longer captive to sin. Christ has freed you. Though you're still mortal and will one day die of something, you're no longer captive to death. Christ has freed you. He freed you by taking up your mortality in his own flesh, the flesh he took on when he was conceived and born of Mary. And in that human flesh of his, he took up humanity's sin, and particularly our sin. He became sin for us, and in his death, he became the ultimate sin offering for us. In the flesh of Christ, the demands of God's law are met. The sinner deserves to die. Christ became the sinner and died our death, fulfilling every aspect of the law. So in Christ, we no longer live according to the flesh, that is, our old sinful nature inherited from Adam. But now we live according to the Spirit, that is, our new nature, given to us by Jesus as a gift. Now, this requires an adjustment of thinking on our part. Our minds are accustomed to focus on the flesh, on our sinful nature. Let your minds wander, and they will inevitably go there. Maybe you've noticed this in church, or while praying or reading the Scriptures. We can be easily absorbed by a book or a movie for hours, but we are all suddenly victims of spiritual ADD when it comes to the Word of God. We know from Holy Scripture and our own experience that our minds do not naturally gravitate toward God. In fact, by nature, they're hostile toward God and want nothing to do with His Word. The mind, captive to the flesh, is that way. It's like that hard pavement in the parable of the seed in the soil that Jesus told in the gospel reading. The word just pings off it. The mind, held captive by the flesh, is hostile to God. Have you ever met someone who was hostile to God? I don't simply mean mad at Christians. I don't even mean upset with the church as an institution. I'm talking about outright hostility toward God, hatred toward the holy, hostility to what is pure and just and true. It's really strange when that happens. But you're seeing this mind held captive to the sinful nature. The mind held captive to the sinful nature cannot, will not, submit to God's law, because it wants to be God. It says, I'm all the God I need, and the only God I bow down and worship is myself. Those who are captive to the sinful nature cannot please God, Paul says. Jesus said the same thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He's the vine. We are the branches. Joined to him, abiding in him in baptismal faith, we are fruitful in his life. Cut off from him, apart from him, we are as fruitless as the seed that bounces off the hard pavement. You, however, Paul says, are not controlled by the sinful nature, the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And the Spirit does dwell in you, because you are baptized. You have a new identity. You are a child of God. The Spirit testifies to you, and His testimony is given in your baptism. Child of God, that's who you are. That's the core of your identity. You may be many things in this life. Father, mother, son, daughter, employer, employee, citizen. And you certainly remain in this life a sinner as long as you're alive. That doesn't change. But what has changed is your identity, the core of your being. You are no longer identified with the flesh of Adam, but with the Spirit of Christ, a new you, a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the Bible says, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In your flesh, you are dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. That is the righteousness that Jesus Christ has given you as his baptismal gift. This calls for a change of mind, what the Bible calls repentance. Repentance is a shift in the orientation of the mind away from the sinful nature and to our new nature in Christ, away from sin and death to righteousness and life, away from the old you and toward the new you. Repentance is a wonderful gift from God. It works the recognition in us that we are born sinners destined to die as fallen children of Adam, and through no doing of our own, God, in His mercy, rescues us from the junk heap and makes us His own. He covers our sins with the clothing of Jesus. He washes away the stain of our guilt with the blood of Jesus' sacrifice. He rescues us from this body of death and gives us life overflowing in abundance. So now, where do you want to fix your mind? On that sinful nature that leads to death and hell? Or on that new nature, that new you in Christ that overflows with His life and Spirit and leads to eternal life? When you think of it that way, there isn't much to think about, is there? Of course not. And that's why Paul, at this point, doesn't tell us what to do, but reminds us of who we are in Christ. He directs our attention, our minds, to Christ, where we find our true identity. Therefore, brothers, he writes, we have an obligation. We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to it. That's what got us in trouble in the first place. No, our debt is to live according to the Spirit of Christ, to put to death the deeds of the body, to drown the old sinful nature with all its lusts and actions in our baptism, to daily repent and turn our minds away from our sinfulness and again to Christ who has rescued us. You are sons of God. Imprint that in your minds. You belong to God in Christ as His free children. You've received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life that frees your mind and breathes life into your body. There is no condemnation for you as you are in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit causes us to pray as a little child, Abba, Father. Perhaps Paul had the Lord's Prayer in mind here. It's how we are given to pray, as dear children coming to our dear Father in heaven and saying, Daddy, Abba. It's not trying to bribe him or flatter him. It's just a little one saying, Abba, Father. And the Father turns his ear and says, Did you hear that? Those are my children. And notice that Paul calls us all sons, even when speaking of the women. And there's a reason for that. Sons are heirs in the ancient world, and you are heirs in Christ, whether male or female. He says in another place, there is neither male nor female when it comes to salvation. All of us are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Heirs is a graceful word. To inherit, you don't do anything. You receive and benefit from the death of another. The death of Jesus has made the kingdom of heaven yours. Forgiveness is yours. Eternal life is yours. That's what life in the Spirit is all about. That's what having your mind fixed on the Spirit means. It's a different mind. So that when, as Paul says, we suffer, we have a mind that understands that we don't suffer alone. Our suffering is with Jesus and in Him, in order that we may be glorified with Jesus on the day He appears to raise us. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the holy Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us all pray the prayer that the Lord taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Pastor Magruder with the Collect for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us here on our website broadcast here at Peace with Christ. Until next week, go in peace and serve the Lord.